minutes after the 1 o'clock hour. Welcome back into the whole show powered by PDC Energy. I want to thank Dalen Kuntz for joining us. Great young man, just doing big things in the area. Is this the best we've ever seen collectively basketball in the state of Colorado? It's got to be, right? I mean, and again, cross over that borderline, mix in Wyoming. I love Jeff Linder. We don't get him on enough. We'll try. Now, we don't talk a lot of Wyoming, but man, they are doing some great things. That game Monday is going to be awesome. I think NoCo Now's Tanner Schwint is driving up there to go to that, so that'll be great. It's got to be, man. I mean, UNC, they're sitting right in the thick of things in the Big Sky Conference. They are second. They are now second because Montana State and Montana are sitting at 6-2. The Bears are second in the conference. 10-8 overall, right behind Weber State. Tanner just texted the show and said, I am going. That's me. Who are you rooting for in that one, though? Because we all know Tanner's kind of an ag guy. He's close to a cowboy. Are you rooting for the Cowboys? Gotta be careful. This is Rams country and Bears country and Buffs country. But no, UNC's 5-1. They're behind Weber State. You win tomorrow, you take hold of sole possession of the Big Sky Conference. You got a lot of games left, a lot of work to do. But this is the, you know, you take care of Weber State. You got to think you're going to beat Idaho State, worst team in the conference. Portland State, okay, you got those back. One of those was rescheduled, right? So you got them on the 31st, and then 4 days later you play them again at home. Then Northern Arizona, should beat them. Sac State, you lost to that team, but that was kind of a perfect storm the other way. For Sac State, shooting extremely well, which is a great equalizer. Then you get back into the tough stuff. Other than Idaho State, you got Southern Utah at home on they're going to be trying to avenge that loss. I mean, they're still in the thick of things too. They're 5-2 in the conference, but the Bears have a real opportunity here if they can beat Weber State. A real opportunity to pull ahead of a lot of these teams. You're starting to see other teams get in the meat of, you know, the top teams get into the meat of their tougher conference schedule. It's going to be good. It's going to be a ride. I think it's great. I mean, again, CSU, best start they've ever had. Now, what are they, 16-1? Is that right? 16-1 is 6-1 of the conference. They got UNLV on Friday. Oh, that's going to be fun Friday, by the way. We moved the David Roddy show this week because of the schedule. Pesky games get in the way in practice. We're going to have David on the show, his show, 1 o'clock Friday. We're going to bring assistant coach Ali Farokmanesh on the program. And so, David, we're going to do something different. We're going to do the Getting to Know Ali segment. And David's going to interview him. It's going to be fantastic. Looking forward to it. The Rams have UNLV, though, Friday night, 7 o'clock. Win that game, and you set up for an epic showdown, a Rocky Mountain showdown on the road against Wyoming. That is a 6 o'clock game on FS1. Then you have San Diego State. Then shortly after that, at Nevada. Then home against Fresno State. So the powers of this conference, you're going to see in the next few days for Colorado State. Some absolutely huge tests for them going forward. You could call, was Nevada a quad two win? They're quad two, right? Special time, man. Get your tickets. When we're giving them away, win the tickets. Go out and watch these games. It's just an absolute joy. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. Coming up in about 5 to 10 minutes. We're going to talk to the Greeley Tribune's Jaden Watson Fisher, who put a story together about UNC's transfer situation on the football side of things. And at first glance, you read, oh boy, a lot of transfers. That's interesting. What, playing time, what is it? But according to her article, parents and loved ones of some of these players are stepping out talking about player unhappiness within the UNC football program. Very interesting article. I have reached out to Coach McCaffrey to see if he could be on the show as well. Perhaps set the record straight. He did put a statement out in this article. He said, according to the Tribune, quote, it is unfortunate that many unhappy players, usually upset about their playing time or the amount of their tuition assistance, simply transfer instead of trying to work out a situation with their coaches. He wrote in a statement to the Tribune. But oftentimes, a coach must provide a player with a truly honest answer they simply do not want to hear. Unfortunately, every player will not be a starter or at the FCS level, be on full scholarship. It is simply not possible. Again, the Tribune cites most of the concerns weren't about playing time and money, the relatives of some of these players have said. Instead, it was the environment. They said there was a lack of preparation and, in, you know, kind of a waning investment, secrecy, and nepotism that players and their inner circles hope to see fixed. Additionally, concerns were raised about the inconsistency with COVID-19 protocol enforcement. According to one parent, the culture is worse now than with Coach Collins. They were lacking talent with Collins, but at least they looked prepared as could be. There are true issues in this program that need to be exposed. These kids deserve a coach that is truly invested in making them better on and off the field, not someone who treats this as a hobby or a part-time gig. Whew. Hey, listen, I don't know about the culture side. I really don't. You know, I put out a few different requests to talk to people. I can't really speak too deeply into that. Every time we've had Coach McCaffrey on, would love that. Great interviews, great segments. But he was a high school coach, folks. There is going to be a learning curve for him and his entire coaching staff. We said, hey, this was the marketing move for sure. Was it the right football move? And I've said it a million times, for a program that needed a desperate shot in the arm, this was the right hire. The right football move? I mean, he's never even been a positions coach in college. So no, but it got people excited. I would be curious to see what the ticket sales were like. I would imagine they were up. I went to a couple of the game I remember was the travel game going to CU. Again, it's CU. It's a big game. But the Bears section, there's a lot of Bears fans. A lot of excitement surrounding this program. Obviously, didn't have the season they wanted. Their offense was bad. And this article does point out that it's more or less the offensive side that, you know, maybe these parents of these offensive players are complaining about. I'll say this. I had a conversation with a former coach up here, a D1 coach. He's telling me, he's like, it's amazing how many parents text and call me about their kids' playing time. It's, you would think I'm coaching 3A basketball. I'm not knocking 3A basketball, but coaches or parents would call and complain, my kid's not getting enough playing time. Why is he not playing? I mean, that's happening at the D1 college level. These men are, they're grown men. They're not kids. If you're 18, you can buy cigarettes. You can gamble. You can buy lottery tickets. You can serve your country. You're not a kid. 18 is not a kid. 14 minutes after the hour. Tell you what, we're going to get her on the program. We're going to talk to the person that wrote this article, and that's Jaden Watson Fisher of the Greeley Tribune. So let's get her on. Let's take a short break. And when we come back, let's dive in to the UNC football situation. What's going on? Let's get it from her who put this article together. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. We'll be right back.
Good Afternoon Guy with Brian Gary is coming up at 3 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hi, this is Jesse Kurtz, executive producer and lead anchor of the Mountain West Network, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Just 18 minutes after the 1 o'clock hour, welcome back in. It's The Whole Show powered by PDC Energy. Joining me now on our First Advantage Hotline, the Greeley Tribune's Jaden Watson Fisher put together this article about UNC football players transferring. And obviously there's more to it than that. Rumors kind of rolling around this program, perhaps, that the culture is not that great surrounding Ed McCaffrey's football program. Jaden, thanks so much for being on the show. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, so let's bust into this a little bit. Obviously, we see it's the nature of college sports now. We are seeing transfers like crazy. The transfer portal, it's like the wild, wild west. Sometimes it has to do with playing time. Sometimes it's, you know, different type players don't really mesh with the coaches, whatever. But in this case, at least according to perhaps some of these parents of kids that have transferred, you're getting the sense that there's a lot more to it than that.
Oh, yeah. And I have actually connected with a couple of players since that first story was published, and a couple of other sources close to the program who have confirmed everything those parents have said. You know, I'm hearing a lot about communication issues, not being able to feel comfortable talking to the coaches, feeling like they're disrespected or they're just not wanted, which is definitely not what you want if you're trying to build a championship program.
So, Jaden, you're getting actual parents of and loved ones, as you pointed out in the story, reaching out to you, talking about, hey, you know, the reason our kids are transferring is because, you know, there's not great communication going on. I think I read one quote in there, and I don't have it right in front of me, Jaden, but one parent said something along the lines, you know, it's a shame that they have a coach that's kind of treating this more or less like a hobby.
Yeah, yeah. And, I mean, I can't speak to Ed McCaffrey's intentions. That's on him, you know? But everyone is saying the same thing. So I feel like there's got to be at least a little truth to it, you know?
So, yeah, when you start to hear a lot of parents, for sure, there is that old saying, you know, where there's smoke, there's fire. You've covered this program pretty closely. Of course, you know, going out to practice and talking to coaches, talking to players. Without any of the parents talking to you, without any of that stuff, what is your assessment of the program?
And, I mean, I was uncertain in the preseason, in the offseason. I wasn't sure how this was going to go, you know? A lot of the stuff guys were saying when they were on the record, it was stuff you expected to hear almost, even the good stuff. It felt a little too good to be true. And then just hearing comments when they're not talking to me, when they're just talking to each other, it sounded like there could potentially be issues early on, you know? You know, there didn't seem to be a whole lot of trust when it came to Ed, some of his higher-up coaches, and even administration at UNC.
We're talking to the Greeley Tribune's Jaden Watson Fisher about her story she put together about the number of transfers, 12 as of late. Some of these players, now we're hearing, you know, maybe some of these parents calling in, talking to Jaden about the reason why, and it's not necessarily a playing time thing. However, Ed McCaffrey did put out a statement that you guys ran in this article, essentially saying, yeah, it's unfortunate that they are unhappy because of playing time. So, again, coach is more or less saying he's chalking it up to kids are upset that they're not starting or not getting more playing time.
Right. And I think that is a typical coach's line. And there might be some hurt in terms of playing time and maybe what they were expecting. I'm not going to say that's a total lie. I don't think that is. But at this point, after that 12, that was on Sunday, we're up to, 20 or so in the last couple of days. I don't think that is all playing time at all. That doesn't include some of the players that are in the portal and were cut before this season. It also does not include the, I believe, 14 or so graduating players that they're going to have to replace. So we're looking at roughly 40 players on the roster that they have to figure out, who's going to fill their spots.
You know what, Jaden, we're kind of losing you off and on. Let's try to call her. Let's try to call her back and see if we can get a better connection. Unplug it, plug it back in. That's the saying. So let's see if we can get her back on. It's a juicy story. I mean, this is the day and age that we are living in. Anytime you see this number, and again, she's saying it's more than 12. I mean, it's 20 at this point. So anytime you get those stories, when you see a big number of players leaving a program now, it's going to lead to questions. Well, she's getting parents, according to her story, she's getting parents tell her that, hey, this is what's going on. It's not about playing time. She goes into detail, and I was getting ready to ask her about this, that, there's frustration with how Dylan McCaffrey was perhaps shown favoritism. The sources who spoke with the Tribune did disagree with Coach McCaffrey's statement on that, talking more and more about, they didn't like the way that Dylan McCaffrey was kind of treated as far as letting him in, keeping him in games when he was struggling, and not pulling him, trying other quarterbacks at this point. According to the Tribune, most of the concerns were not about time and money. Instead, it was the environment, lack of preparation, waning investment, secrecy, nepotism. One parent said the culture is worse now than it ever was with Ernest Collins Jr. Very interesting thoughts here. They talked about, the opportunities around, again, Dylan McCaffrey. Here's a line. They allege the staff showed favoritism, and it wasn't always based on who provided the best outcome for the team. Additionally, they criticized McCaffrey's decision to play his son, graduate quarterback Dylan McCaffrey, most of the year, even during games where he lacked efficiency. Thanks, Aaron Rath, hooking us up, color commentator for the UNC Bears. Here's the list so far. Oof. He's got 19. Some of those we expected. I will say that. Some of those we did expect. I'd be curious. And again, I'll share that list, too, on our social media feeds. Most of the list. How are we coming on that connection over there? Are we still pretty spotty? Can she stand up on a mountain or something? Can she drive? Would that help? Drive up on a building? Is this part of it? Is this part of what we're going to be seeing now? In college sports, are we going to see transfers and then it's always going to lead to a story? Now, she's flat out going in saying, hey, it's where there's smoke, there's got to be fire. I'm still of this mindset that there's, how many kids are on scholarship and on a football program? Are we in the 80s? Like, we're around 80, right? More than that, maybe. Of that group, is it fair to say there's going to be 10 to 20 even on any given year that are not going to like the situation? Bad connection. We're not going to get her. It's a bummer. So McCaffrey's statement, she goes on to list out what the statement says, that he has an open door policy and met with players who requested a meeting and returned all phone calls from players, regardless if the topic was about football. The staff encourages players to speak their mind. 63 scholarships in FCS. Okay, 63. So it's fair to say there's going to be 10 to 15 players on 63 scholarships that struggle, having a difficult time reaching her. This text from the 303, what happened to Coach Baldwin? All I'm going to say on that side, it was interesting. The first signing day that McCaffrey was a part of, we were set to have him come on the show, and instead it was Baldwin. So that's a first for me. We'd never had I've interviewed Coach Bobo. I've interviewed CU Buffs head coaches, Steve Adazio. I've interviewed all these college coaches in the area, Ernest Collins Jr., and they always jumped on to talk about signing day. I've never been handed the coordinator instead of the head coach. And it was Baldwin that came in. He came and sat in the studio. And Baldwin, Dave Baldwin, who had a history with McCaffrey, I believe he was his receivers coach when he was in Stanford, am I right? So they had a good connection. And bringing him on was kind of what, you know, Ed McCaffrey wanted to bring him on and help him along the way because he knew college football. He knew the how to recruit. He knew about all that stuff. But it was before the spring game. Was it last year? I'm losing timelines. Yeah, it was. It was last year before the spring game, like right before the spring game. Baldwin was no more. He was not on the – I mean, it was like instant. I have a lot of hearsay of what happened. It's hearsay. I just don't think that they saw eye to eye. So then you bring Max McCaffrey in, and he's your offensive coordinator. There's been complaints about that. So the texter from the 303 saying it's not just players. Crazy stuff going on with this, because when McCaffrey was hired, it was like, bam. People were in love. And rightfully so. I mean, he's a fan favorite. He's a Broncos legend. What do you guys think on this? I mean, if you check out the story, obviously parents fired back on the open door policy thing. Sources, again, who spoke with the Tribune disagreed with that statement. The first parent that contacted, that talked to the Tribune, said their student athlete never met with McCaffrey despite assistance, nor did some of their teammates. And that's when, again, we ran what, you know, McCaffrey kind of talked about the playing time in his statement. That's where he went. That's what you heard, and I'm not comparing the two at all, so don't go there. But that is what you heard with Steve Adazio. I've tried to get a couple of players on, and we have a couple of responses. No confirmation just yet. I get it. I understand it. But we were in a really fortunate situation with CSU, with Ellison Hubbard, who happens to be a good friend of mine now. There's name dropping there for you, J.D. When he transferred out, we just happened to be doing this little thing called the Ellison Hubbard Show. So when he made that announcement, it was pretty easy to say, hey, can you come on and talk about it? His was playing time, but also a little bit more. He told us with CSU, he never talked to Adazio. He's like, I barely see him in the hallway. Everything I wanted or needed, I went through my defensive coordinator. Is that what's going on with UNC? And again, some parents, sounds like several, have reached out to the Tribune, said most of the concern, and they're all anonymous here, most of the concerns weren't about playing time and money, the relative said. Instead, it was about the environment. Again, lacked preparation. On the lacked preparation side, I mean, what do you expect? I think Darren Dunn and company knew what they were getting into. You're bringing a guy that has 2 years of head coaching experience, and that's at the high school level. Yeah, he won a title, but that team he coached for, they win a lot of them. I think J.D. could go down there and maybe even win a title. No, I'm not trying to take anything away from anybody. But I think the preparation side you expect. He's a brand new coach. Now, was it a good move to hire a guy that's never even been a positions coach in college football or the NFL? You tell me. I mean, for the marketing standpoint, nobody was going to watch Ernest Collins Jr. lose 7-8 games. Nobody was every single year, except for two. Nobody was doing it. The ticket sales were down. So they look at it and say, how do we fix it? How do we make this program actually, how do we inject life into this program? So they hire him. And I thought, there it is. That's a great marketing move. I can't speak on the football side. I think at that point, I said on this show, Steve Adazio was the better football hire. McCaffrey was the better name. I still stand by that. So I think the preparation side is to be expected. But then there's another little term in here, waning investment, secrecy, and nepotism. some parent pointed it out and said, hey, I wish that the coach didn't treat this as a hobby or a part-time gig. The parent said, these kids deserve a coach that is truly invested in making them better on and off the field, not someone who treats this as a hobby or a part-time gig. Now, according to the Tribune, 10 UNC players transferred after Collins' first season, according to the UNC compliance office. Now, you got to be careful there. You have to be careful. You can't compare anything now to what happened back in the day with transfers. I mean, Jaden points out in her story, Colorado State had 24 players in the transfer portal as of Wednesday. And UNC's at 20. And I don't think anybody right now is saying the environment at CSU is bad, because they got a brand new coaching staff that seemed to be really freaking good, seemed to be really exciting. Time will tell. But that is the nature of this transfer portal life that we're in. You're going to see a lot transferring out. CU has 25, including their very best player in Jarek Broussard, who was the Pac-12 player of the year 2 years ago. So you're going to get this. This number isn't necessarily alarming to me. It's alarming that parents are saying, you know, coming out talking about this, saying there's a weird environment going on. This is not a great culture. It's a guy that treats it like a hobby. He doesn't have an open-door policy. He doesn't talk to a lot of people. He doesn't talk to a lot of players. And if that's the case, yeah, you got an issue. But from my experience, and again, I'm not in go to practice, and you can stand there and watch practice and see how it goes. But I can't get a lot of inside information that would make me lean one way or the other. I will just say this. Again, this is the nature of the beast. You're seeing it with Colorado State. I'll bet you right now. I mean, a lot of people were mad at Jay Norvell with CSU because he didn't honor the two scholarships from the Fort Collins guys. So, I mean, you're going to get it. I'll tell you right now, with Steve Adazio, and I think we all know how that went, I had one player that loved him, and I had another player that was like either or. He didn't hate him. He didn't say anything really bad. Even off the record, Ellison Hubbard and I talked, and he's, you know, just didn't communicate. Didn't have a lot of bad things. But I had another guy that said I'd freaking go to war for that guy, Scott Patchett. Both great guys. Both have entirely different opinions of Steve Adazio. Well, Brady, that's because Scott Patchett was a starter, so Adazio treated him better. George Carl once told me he didn't bother to get to know his players' names until they produced. Is that the same case with college? Brady, no, it's about the students. They need to be caring about them. Yeah, I agree in some regard, but it still is a business. And if they have players on that team that they don't think are going to contribute, yeah, I mean, they're probably going to get lost in the weeds at some point. Texture from the 808. How is Max McCaffrey's girlfriend the director of football operations? I mean, yeah, listen, it is a family and friend situation going on with the football program. You can't deny that. Now, is that neither wrong or right? You're bringing in guys, you know. Again, this is a brand new situation. Still, McCaffrey has not been a head coach. He has not coached more than three football seasons, folks. He had two high school seasons and one UNC season. They elected not to play. And as far as Christian McCaffrey's girlfriend's side, I mean, she has experience in this, right? I mean, so it's a very interesting time going in. I mean, you see former Broncos on his staff when he was in Denver. You're seeing Jimmy Spencer was a former Bronco. Yes, that is how these go. I mean, you're bringing in people you know to be on your staff. If Ed McCaffrey, his intentions, by the way, according to ESPN's Ed Werder, who went to UNC and sat down with Ed McCaffrey for a very long interview, said his intentions are to be at the next level head coaching. So I don't think just hiring your buddies just to help your son and Max and all that is really going to bode well for your future aspirations if you didn't really believe that Max and Kathleen are good at their jobs, could be good at their jobs. This is a growing program. That's the idea here, is that you are starting essentially from scratch. And again, if really bad stuff's going on, then that's unfortunate. I'm sure more will come out on this. I can't go as far as Jaden said. Jaden said is, you know, like, hey, where there's smoke, there's fire. It's got to be true, and that's what I'm getting. I can't go there yet because I don't personally have that sense. I had that sense with Steve Addazio because I had a player on the program in the know. I'm going to try to get some more reactions from, or responses, I should say, from players, if we can get that. And there are things, you know, over the season I've picked up that, you know, there are certain players that are not being perhaps talked to, like the starters. I don't know. Is that common? That seems like it could be common. Is it right? Is it right that Steve Addazio barely talked to Ellison Hubbard? Now, that's different because Ellison Hubbard was a fifth-year senior. Very big name and well-respected guy for Colorado State. Very interesting times. Through another text. In my opinion, these transfer portal stories exist in all programs. No need to overreact to a couple of parents who are louder than the rest. Sorry it didn't work out for you, little Johnny. Carry on. I think that that's kind of how I'm viewing most of these. And you're also seeing that most of the parents of these from the offensive side of the ball. Where do they struggle the most? The offensive side of the ball. Like I said, dudes. I talked to a former D1 coach that said, I get parents that call and text me about playing time. These are D1, 18 to 23-year-olds that have mom and dad calling about playing time. So on that side, I don't like it. And again, these parents are citing that it's more than that, that it's much more than playing time. And I do agree. I you know, Holyoke saying that, I think I get you. I think I do kind of agree. I think there are times, and I think we're doing it. We're delving in to see if there's more to it than that. And maybe there is. Maybe more will come out. 41 minutes after the hour, 303, what happened to Brister's boy? Yeah, I think he was upset. Wasn't he that with the playing time situation? Let's take a quick break. I tell you what, we need to do that. We're well over our time. Let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
Hi, I'm Kevin Lytle of the Fort Collins, Coloradoan, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Six minutes after the hour. I know I got to take a break soon again because Jadeen blew past the clock. Weldworks has beer releases every single Friday at noon. So write that down. Put it in your schedule. You busted your hump all week. You want to go down and have one of the best beers maybe in the world. I don't know, man. Weldworks is world famous. Stop by Weldworks and try one of their new beers. Every single Friday they have a new beer release. Tell them we sent you from The Whole Show, powered by PDC Energy. The 303 texted in and said, what about Brister's boy? He left before the season was done. I'm double-checking on that because I know there was some awkwardness on the quarterback depth chart. And I'm just speculating. Are some of the parents, are the parents of some of the quarterbacks the ones? I'm just speculating. Don't know. It's on the offensive side. Talking to Aaron Rath, who did color commentary for the UNC Bears, going back and forth with him. I said, hey, when exactly did Brister leave? Because I couldn't remember. I couldn't play. I'm getting a lot of stuff. About a month ago, he's going to Louisiana Tech, which makes sense, right? Isn't that where Bubby's from? Makes sense to me. From the 916, arrogance never translates to loyalty. Is that on the coach's side or the player's side? Eastside Chris, appreciate you investigating the UNC football article. I read about it previously. Oh, thank you. Brady It even happens in the pros. I believe Mother Locke put 2 cents worth. It's silly. It's silly that parents get involved in the playing time. If it's something more than playing time, then yeah, get involved. But if that's what this is truly about, which according to those parents, it's not. So it's a very, very interesting time we're in. Holyoke on that text, I tend to agree on that side, kind of, right? 48 minutes after the hour, we got to take another break. Jaden, get us out of here. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy, Northern Colorado's voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
If you want nuggets insights, then you want the Hull Show on Northern Colorado's voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Miles Blumhardt, sports editor at the Fort Collins Coloradoan, and you're listening to the Hull Show on 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back to the Hull Show, powered by PDC Energy. We're on Northern Colorado's voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. Man, we're talking about, you want Northern Colorado sports talk, you don't go anywhere else. We're still talking Broncos, we're still talking Nuggets, but we're talking Colorado State. We're talking Buffs. We got Mark Johnson who rescheduled with us. He's on tomorrow, talking about the Buffs' monster win over the Ducks last night. We're talking UNC and this situation that's going on around Ed McCaffrey. You're not getting that anywhere else, guys. The 916 clarified, talking about the arrogance. It's a good quote. Arrogance never translates to loyalty. And I said, okay, well, on the player side or the coach's side, the 916 said arrogance that McCaffrey is demonstrating. Again, just kind of speculating here. Was there a sense for Ed McCaffrey that he could come here being who he is and obviously having the name McCaffrey could just attract so many great recruits that he could make short work of this job? And just rock and roll right through it. I've had some people text in the show and say, hey, where is he? You know, is he out? Is he out in the community a lot? And the answer to that is I don't know. I am, and I'm not seeing him at the same places where I am. So if you want to take it that route. I talked to Joe Parker, CSU athletic director, yesterday. You're, as a head coach in a college program, regardless of the level, you are marketing your program. You are needing to be out and about. So is the texter there assuming that there's an arrogance there that there's an attitude of, I don't need to do all that stuff. I don't need to talk to the players. I don't need to go out and shake hands, kiss babies, and do all that stuff. I don't, and again, I can't, I'm speculating. The texter from the 808, it's not only players that chose to leave the program because of the terrible culture, but a ton of support staff as well. Director of sports medicine, head athletic trainers, director of sports. And again, you can also chalk this up to new coach, new philosophies, new ways of life. Again, you can go that route if you're sugarcoating it. There's probably somewhere in between. These people probably didn't get along with whatever the vision was. I'd like to know more. Again, we have reached out to Coach McCaffrey. Like to get him to talk about this, if that's possible. But we may just get a statement. We may get nothing. Who knows? Until the next time. Well, I'm sure we'll talk about this a little bit more tomorrow. If you guys miss any portion of the program, we got podcasts available at thewholeshow.com or 1310kfka.com. It's a big Wednesday. We got Betting Across America coming up next. And then the Good Afternoon Guy. Let Brian take you home for the evening. That sounded weird. That's going to do it for us. Good night, Northern Colorado.